Chapter 95. 10 months later. It was a rare cloudless spring day in Kitimat, the kind that turned the waters cerulean blue and made the crisp air taste of pure oxygen. On the grounds of the former Terra Green sequestration plant, a small group of dignitaries and media reporters were gathered for a ribbon-cutting ceremony. A cherub-faced man in a beige suit, Canada's newly appointed Minister of Natural Resources, bounded up to a podium placed before the seated crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to officially declare open the Kitimat Photosynthesis Station, the first of its kind in the world. As you know, the Natural Resources Ministry inherited this facility last year, built as a carbon sequestration site under less than ideal circumstances. But I am delighted to report that the facility has been successfully re-engineered as the very first artificial photosynthesis conversion plant in existence. The Kitimat Photosynthesis Station will safely and efficiently convert carbon dioxide to water and hydrogen without any risk to the environment whatsoever. We are excited that the plant can use the existing pipeline to Athabasca to convert nearly 10% of the carbon dioxide generated from the oil sands refineries. Here today we have the prototype for a proven weapon against greenhouse gases, which can wage the fight without harm to the environment. The assembled crowd, including many Kitimat residents, applauded loudly. The resources minister smiled broadly before continuing. Like any great venture, this facility conversion was accomplished by the work of a great many people. It has also been one of the more fruitful collaborative efforts that I have ever witnessed. The joint venture between the Natural Resources Ministry, the United States Department of Energy, and George Washington University stands as a testament to the great things that can be accomplished in the pursuit of the common good. I would like to especially recognize the achievements of Miss Lisa Lane, for whom credit can be given for the genesis of this facility. Seated in the first row, Lisa waved to the crowd while blushing deeply. I see momentous changes for all of mankind here today, and I look forward to the dawn of a new world from our humble beginnings here in Kitimat. Thank you. The crowd applauded again, then sat through the orations of several more politicians before a large ceremonial ribbon was cut for the cameras. As the speeches ended, the resources minister stepped over to the front row where Pitt and Lauren were seated next to Lisa. Miss Lane, it is good to see you again, he greeted warmly. This must be a very exciting day for you.
It certainly is. I would not have imagined that a working artificial photosynthesis facility would come online so rapidly, she said.
Your president and our new prime minister showed great will in moving things forward.
Minister, I would like you to meet my dear friend, Congresswoman Lauren Smith, and her husband, Dirk Pitt.
A pleasure to meet you both.
Mr. Pitt, it was you who recommended converting the sequestration plant, was it not?
It was my kid's idea, actually, he said, pointing to Dirk and Summer, who were making their way to the cash bar. We all figured that a positive light might be shone on one of Mitchell Goyette's past sins. The minister shuddered at the mention of Goyette's name, but soon smiled again. Your discovery has proved a blessing on many fronts, Miss Lane, he said to Lisa. We'll be able to expand our oil sands operations in Athabasca now, as additional photosynthesis facilities are brought online to capture the greenhouse gas emissions. That will go a long way in abating oil shortages in both our countries. I am pushing the Prime Minister to authorize funding for 20 more plants. How are things progressing in the States?
Thanks to the efforts of Lauren and the Vice President, 30 plants have been funded, with plans for an additional 50 facilities to be built over the next 3 years. We're starting with our coal-fired power plants, which emit the most pollution. There is excitement that we will finally be able to safely burn coal, fueling our utilities for decades to come.
Perhaps as important, we have a signed agreement with the Chinese as well, Lauren said. They've promised to build 75 plants over the next 8 years.
My, that is good news, since the Chinese are now the largest emitters of greenhouse gases. It's a fortunate thing that the technology is easily replicated, the minister said. And that we have an abundant supply of the catalyst to make the process work, Lisa added. If Mr. Pitt's NUMA organization hadn't made the discovery of ruthenium off the coast of Alaska, none of this would be possible.
A lucky break, Pitt acknowledged. Our undersea mining operation is now up and running, and the yield is very encouraging so far. We hope to mine enough of the mineral to supply thousands of plants like this around the world.
Then we can look forward to a possible end to global warming in our lifetimes. A remarkable accomplishment, the minister said before being pulled aside by an aide.
It looks like your days of scientific anonymity are over, Lauren quipped to Lisa.
It is all exciting, but the truth is I'd rather be back in the lab. There are plenty of refinements that can be made, and we still haven't perfected the efficient conversion to hydrogen yet. Thankfully, I've got a new and even better lab at the university. Now I just need to find a new lab assistant.
Bob has been officially charged? Lauren asked.
Yes. He had over $200,000 in various places that were traced back to Goyette. I can't believe that my own friend sold me out.
As Goyette proved, unmitigated greed will catch up to you in the end.
A horde of reporters suddenly appeared, surrounding Lisa and barraging her with questions about the facility and her scientific discovery. Pitt and Lauren slipped off to the side, then strolled across the grounds. Pitt had recovered fully from his injuries and enjoyed stretching his legs outdoors.
It's so beautiful here, Lauren remarked. We should stay a few extra days.
You forget your congressional panel hearings next week. Besides, I need to get back to Washington and ride roughshod over Al and Jack. We have a new submersible to test in the Mediterranean next month that we need to prepare for.
Already on to the next project, I see.
Pitt simply nodded, a twinkle in his green eyes.
As somebody once said, it's in my blood.
They walked past the facility until reaching the shoreline.
You know, there is a potential downside to this technology, she noted. If global warming can one day be reversed, the Northwest Passage is liable to permanently freeze over again.
Pitt stared out at the nearby channel.
I think Franklin would agree with me. That's as it should be.
Across the compound, a white boat motored up to the channel front dock and tied up behind a rented press boat. Trevor Miller stepped onto the pier and studied the large crowd spread across the grounds before spotting a tall woman with flowing red hair. Snatching a beer along the way, he walked up to Dirk and Summer, who stood laughing near the former security hut.
"Mind if I steal your sister?" he said to Dirk.
Summer turned to him with a look of relief, then quickly kissed him.
"You're late," she said.
"I had to put gas in my new boat," he tried to explain.
Dirk looked at him with a grin.
"Go ahead and take my sister. Keep her for as long as you like."
Trevor walked Summer back to the boat and released the dock line. Gunning the throttle, he shot off the dock and was soon racing down Douglas Channel. He ran the boat all the way to Heckett Strait before cutting the motor and letting the boat drift as the sky overhead began to darken. Slipping an arm around Summer, he moved to the stern with her at his side and looked out toward Gill Island. They stood together, staring across the calm waters for a long while.
"The best and worst things in my life seem to happen out here," he finally whispered in her ear.
She slipped an arm around his waist and held him tight as they watched the crimson sun sink slowly beneath the horizon. This is Scott Brick. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Arctic Drift by Clive Cussler and Dirk Cussler. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse and produced by Dan Musselman. Arctic Drift is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA Incorporated and Books on Tape. Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. The book, Arctic Drift, is available wherever G.P. Putnam's Sons books are sold.